So far in our study of Revelation, God will have allowed humans to destroy other humans. Nation will rise up against nation, wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus predicted in the Gospels. It's best to think that so far in Revelation 1 through 6, God has just allowed other humans to destroy each other. He will, in the tribulation, allow other humans to start wars, and that will lead to famines, and that will lead to diseases. At this point in our study of Revelation, God himself has done very little punishment. A fraction in Revelation 6, verse 8, is that by that time, the tribulation, one quarter of people will have died, and humans will have done it to each other. The church will be gone before it starts, taken up. The Latin word was rapturo, 1 Thessalians 4:7. We get rapture from it. So Christians will not be in this world. We will be gone. And yet God has allowed the earth dwellers to destroy each other, those unbelievers in the tribulation. And he has withheld his own vengeance, even in Revelation 6, where martyred saints are crying out, "How long, O Lord, righteous and true? How long will you have patience?" And he told them to wait. Now, in John's vision, we say past tense, he told them in the future he will tell them to wait. And so far, God himself hasn't done too much directly. They pray for vengeance. When we study the book of Revelation, it's somewhere in here we have to put the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period that's coming. The phrase came out of Revelation 7:13, the Great Tribulation. Now, that alone may not indicate the last 3.5 years, but we cannot wait much longer in our study, because in the part we'll read today, the fractions are what will happen, the tribulation. The fractions are so high, the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, has to start sometime right about in here. And it goes beyond humans destroying other humans to God finally doing something about it directly. Today's first verse is Revelation 8, verse 1. It's good to read just the first verse, and you'll see why momentarily. Revelation 8, verse 1. When the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. John's vision continues in the book. There had been a scroll, we would say a biblion, a book, and it had been sealed shut. The Lamb slain, died for the whole world. He owns the whole world. He will have rights to the title deed of the world. He had the rights in John's day to reveal to us and inform us what will happen. He will have the rights when the time comes to bring it about. The book was sealed, were opened, and of the final seal, out comes more judgments, another series. No longer the seal judgments, but these will be the trumpet judgments. Church saints will have been in heaven. Others, after the rapture, might become believers. We call them tribulational saints. They had asked how long, and God said, wait a while longer, and there will indeed be 3.5 more years of the Great Tribulation. But already God himself starts to put an end to it in this future time period being described here in Revelation 8. And obviously, read verse 1 just by itself, because it shows the response. How about if I didn't talk for another half hour? How about if the TV was quiet for a half hour? How about if we went to a football game and they're all cheering and all of a sudden for a half hour everyone is quiet? They know the end is coming. Even the because by this point, we'll know the end is coming. Revelation 6 at the close said they will hide, they said in the mountains, shall we say they will hide in the bunkers and say, who will protect us from the wrath of the one on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb? Really, in Revelation 12:12, Satan knows his time is short. It just makes him more mad. And here are the trumpets. Think of a charge. Think of the charge of God's army. The charge from heaven is about to begin, but before it begins, before God directly himself intervenes and starts, there's 30 minutes of silence. I don't know about silence. We might think of a death watch where all the family sits around waiting for the time and they're very, very quiet. We might think of a jury that has made a decision on a penalty, and it's a death penalty case, and they've gone for deliberations for a half hour, and everyone's quiet, waiting for them to come back and to explain their decision. So here is a half hour's silence in heaven. We should say foreboding. I don't know if sickness is the right word, but you know, they prayed for a long time to put an end to it. When the time comes, it's like, really? It has to be done. Evil has to stop. I mean, the tribulation period is a lot worse than now, and now is bad enough, but the tribulation period would be a lot worse of evil now. It has to be done. It has to stop. And yet, a half hour of silence, stunning speechlessness, kind of maybe not knowing everything, but kind of have an idea of what will happen. And the first trumpets are getting ready to sound. They're not going to happen for a few more verses, but the next paragraph is verses 2 through 6. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it on the earth, and there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. When Moses built the tabernacle, and later when Solomon built the temple, they were ultimately patterned after the heavenly worship system. In the tabernacle and temple, there was a holy place. An incense would be burned on the altar of incense twice a day, morning and evening. An ordinary priest would be chosen by lot, and once in their lifetime, there were so many of them, but once in their lifetime, they would get to go to the holy place and burn incense and pray before the veil. And then they would go to the outside on the steps and lead the nation of Israel in prayer. An Old Testament person would know that incense, smoke going up, pictured prayers going up. We don't often anymore use the word censer, but think of a grill, think of the burning coals, burning wood chips, burning. And in the temple, they would have the coals burning. And the picture here is the prayers went up for vengeance. The prayers went up for a stop to the evil world and the tribulation. And the picture is the angels threw the fiery prayers back down on earth. And the trumpeters, shall we say, the Lord's army, are about ready to sound the judgments that will happen in the tribulation period. The embers, the hot burning coals will come down. Thunder makes the sound. Earthquake. I don't know what to do. Greek lessons. Brontos is thunder, like brontosaurus. And seismos, like an earthquake. Those are the words there. So here come the seven angels getting ready to sound the trumpet, and verse 7 will be the first. Of course, this is all future in the tribulation period, but verse 7. The first, the protos, sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up. All the green grass, a third of that area, was burned up. Well, God himself is acting more directly, not just allowing humans to destroy other humans, not just allowing the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, God is doing it directly, although the target for these will first be nature. The human race is affected greatly, of course, but the actual target will first be nature. And here we have one third of the earth is burned. Forests, you know, we're worried about the Amazon. Yes, be worried about it. This will be a whole lot worse. One third is burned up. One third of the forest, one third of the grasslands. We do not know for certain why the United States is not in the book of Revelation. They didn't know about it then. Now, one of the reasons is, one third of the forests are burned up. One third of the prairies will be burned up. So whatever we have now going on is of concern. It will be bad enough, but it will be nothing compared to this. The first trumpet sounded. Now, the second trumpet, and although it does not say so, think of God charging, God sending forth his a figurative army, verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Another one is kind of more against nature, not so much the human race, but more against nature. Deuteronomy is second. Like Deuteronomy, the repetition of the law. A great, something like the burning mountain, I don't know, comet, something like that. And a third of the ships were sunk, and a third of the marine creatures died. So, again, when you get to the fractions that we have here, we're going to see another one shortly about a third of the human race dying. We can't put off the great tribulation much longer, somewhere in these verses. The first 3.5 years, nation will fight nation, and there will be international nations, and the Antichrist won't quite be in charge of all because the nations will be fighting each other. But the last 3.5 years, the nations quit fighting each other because the Antichrist will be the dictator, although God starts to intervene and the suffering actually gets a little worse. We cannot spend too much time on verse 9, but one thing that is interesting, the creatures in the sea had life. King James will translate that same word later in chapter 16, verse 3, all the souls in the sea. Greek word is psyche, it is soul. We get psychology from it. Makes you think about animals. Can't spend all Sunday studying animals, but we are definitely different and higher. In the book of Genesis, only humans are in the image of God, so higher. It does not say animals are in the image of God. Relative to the breath of life, God breathed directly into Adam, although it does say the animals have the breath of life. It does say that. When they go two by two into the ark, or who have the breath of life. So humans have the image of God and are superior, and humans have a direct connection to God's breath of life. Animals have the breath of life, but less so. Interesting here, though, that the word soul is used of them. It makes one wonder about things, which I can't review all this, but one does wonder about animals in the afterlife. My own opinion is that there will be some, at least on the new earth, you know, kind of like back to paradise. And anyway, the word soul is used of the fish. Although they're really real more important, so if you want to go grilly fish today, you can go grilly fish today. That's also in the book of Genesis. Now we move on to the third trumpet judgment. Again, these are all at nature. And we go from burning the green areas to the oceans. And now in Revelation 8, 10, and 11, it's the fresh water. The Tritons, the third angel sounded with a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, after a sour plant. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. And here's the fresh water. And Flint will be a small problem compared to what's coming. And Newark, if it's got the same problem, will be a small problem compared to what's coming. And being from the Great Lakes area, I've always been interested in fresh water versus salt water. How much of the world's water is drinking water? And the answer is 3.5%. So 96.5% of it is salt. 3.5% is fresh water. All of the fresh water, how much of it is in lakes and streams, and how much of it is underground or frozen? How much of it is available? 0.25%. That's how much is now available, 0.25%. And we do get worried about oil, but drinking water matters. So we're glad there are lots of lakes. I get the statistics from National Geographic and saved that article a long time ago. And here, one-third of the drinking water it predicts in the future tribulation, God will turn into wormwood. Wormwood was a sour plant, and in this case, it will make them sick, too, and die. The fourth angel, verses 12 and 13, sounds another trumpet, and it's kind of also against nature, but against the solar system, verses 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were smitten, so a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night the same way. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the earth dwellers. That term keeps getting used over and over again, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet, and the three angels were about to sound. So far directed against nature, though of course humans will be affected by it. One-third of the green forest, one-third of the oceans, one-third of the drinking water, and now darker more often, and what would happen with their crop failures. And definitely business declining, which often people who study the end time events think of a poor economy, just going back to more primitive times. Now, those in heaven will know the origin, and even the earth dwellers by now, we've seen in Revelation, they know the wrath of the Lamb is coming, so they're hiding. One still wonders at this future tribulation if the Antichrist won't claim its natural pollution, he'll be able to do something about it. He'll be able to protect the people of the world, so keep worshiping the Antichrist. Woe, 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 Greek and Hebrew. Oi, oi, oi. Or this New York or Tel Aviv, but that's the original words here. Here it's coming. The worst is coming yet. So far this has been directed against nature. I would pause here, though, and give the idea that so many people interpret Revelation as past, that it hasn't happened yet, and they will say this was the Roman Empire, to which verses like this, I would respond, when in the Roman Empire did a third of the grass burn up? When in the Roman Empire did a third of the ships sink? And the third verse of the prophecy says, blessed are those who read and hear the words of this prophecy. When in the Roman Empire did someone sit in a rebuilt temple claiming to be God and demanding worship? So we are following the interpretation of Revelation that it is future, and I don't know how they would say this already happened in the Roman Empire. Nothing like this happened. And it gets more weird as we move on to chapter 9. They've already been given the woe. Worse is coming. Let's look at chapter 9. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given for him. Star is a person of some kind. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. It will have to read more, but first, the fifth angel blows the trumpet from heaven, and a fallen star is given a key to the abyss. This star will be some sort of being. It would be logical to take the star as the same as verse 11, which we'll read in a moment, but they have a king over them, the angel of the abyss. So who is the fallen star? Who is the king of the bottomless pit? And of course we remember Isaiah 14, where it talks about Lucifer has fallen from heaven like a star. And he says, I will make my throne like the throne of God. I will ascend. And in Revelation 12, a red dragon, described as Satan later on, will with his tail strike down a third of the stars of the sky. So most likely the fallen star here, who is the person who is king of the abyss and whose name is the destroyer, will be Satan himself. Here he is given permission to open up the abyss and let some of these weird creatures out, all after our time or in the future, but let some of these weird creatures out that we'll read about shortly. I want to say here that the destiny, the places of judgment in the future, we tend to lump them all together as hell and make it simplified and make it easy. I guess that's okay, but actually there will be or are three. The final place is Gehenna, also called the Lake of Fire. As far as I can tell right now, it's empty. For the present, there are two other places, one for unsaved humans, one for some of the fallen angels who are in prison. At the present, the place of departed unsaved people is called in Hebrew, Sheol, in Greek, Hades. And there are no demons there. They are separated. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there is a Sheol or a Hades, and the unsaved people, the rich man, goes there. Believers who die now go to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Clear application here, make sure we've trusted Jesus as Savior. But the Bible speaks of unsaved departed spirits now going to Sheol or Hades, but fallen angels who are in prison, not all of them are, but fallen angels who are in prison are in this abyss. At one time, 2 Peter 2 calls it Tartarus, but abyss or Tartarus is the place of the fallen angels. Some are loose, as in the life of Jesus in the Gospels, but some are in prison like these. And here, some will be released in this future tribulation period after the fifth trumpet sounds. A key, a cleat, is given to the, probably Satan, the destroyer. Open it up. Let him loose. And here they come, Ruth. They're ugly looking, verses 3 through 6. Then out of the smoke come locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them as scorpions of the earth, their power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And the torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death. They will not find it. They will long to die. And death flees from them. Boy, this is weird. Supernatural type beings coming up in this predicted future tribulation period. They are now in the abyss. They are now in Tartarus. Satan is given permission to turn a few of them loose. They cannot kill people, which is different than in the past. They cannot kill people, and they cannot harm nature. But you can go and torment them. Quite a phrase here. They will want to die. It's the same Greek word for lust. They will lust for death, but God will say, no. No death. 5 minutes, 5 months of stings. Something like a scorpion sting, which is the closest that we can understand in our relationships to the world right now. Don't hurt any plants. Don't hurt any of those that have the seal of God in their foreheads. That was in an earlier chapter. But torment the rest of them. And now here's what they look like, verses 7 through 10. The appearance of locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like faces of men, but hair like the hair of women. They had teeth like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses. Clip, clop, clop, clop. Galloping to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt, to torment the people for 5 months. Well, in the Bible, whenever it talks about an angel on earth, it's a bright human in appearance. When it talks about an angel in heaven, they're weird. Four faces, gyroscope, feet. Same way with demons. Well, here's the description of demons on earth. Now, some are loose and restrained right now. The restrainer, restrained. And some are in prison. Some will always be in prison. Some will be released. These are being released. And they are weird looking. This is the closest humans can be. Sort of look like horses, but look like scorpions. Crowns of gold, human faces, sharp teeth, noisy wings. Really strange. Long, women-like hair. They buzz around and torment people. Sound like a bunch of chariots in a war. Charging. I don't know how big they will be. Doesn't say. I don't know. Little? Big as a horse? Little? Like a locust? I don't know. Mid-sized like a lobster? I don't know. Now, verses 11 and 12, more about their leader. They will have a king over them, the king of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name of Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. The king of the abyss, the fallen star, would most likely be Satan, the destroyer. In any language, the destroyer. Now, I can apply this. Let's read some more and apply it. To me, the biggest lesson in all of this, Satan kills Satan's followers. God will use evil to destroy evil. Now and then. So one of the really weird things about evil is that evil destroys evil. It won't do them any good to be a follower of Satan. He's going to come and destroy them. So I might as well go ahead and make that same application out of the final part of chapter 6. Looks like another group of weird supernatural horse type things. Revelation 9:13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. One thing, the sixth angel with a trumpet, released the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. These are likely bad angels. And the four angels who have been prepared for the hour and day and month and year release that they might kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in a vision the horses and those who sat upon them. The riders had breastplates of color of fire and hyacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. Out of their mouth proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. Here's our statistic. And a third of the mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceed out of their mouth. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, are like serpents and have heads, with whom they do harm. I have seen a time in the past where artists try to draw these pictures. They're really, really weird. You would think they would scare the little kids. But here's the prediction of at least the horse-type creatures or other supernatural beings. And God now is restraining, stopping, not letting them loose, permission in the sixth trumpet given to let them loose. Another example, though, of permission is given for Satan to destroy satanic people. It's long been this way. God uses evil to destroy evil. The greatest example of this is the cross. Satan entered Jesus, betrayed Jesus. Satan, thinking Jesus was killed, finally got rid of him. When Jesus was killed, then a way was made for all the sin of the world to be paid for. And those who accept Jesus' payment can be freed from any claim on Satan. Satan thought he was killing Jesus, and Jesus made a way to kill Satan. Now, as the prince of this world judge, God will always outfool evil. God will use evil to destroy evil. We see it at the cross. What happens now? We see a law in the book of Revelation. Later, there will be the great harlot, and the beast will attack the great harlot. Well, what is that? The Antichrist attacking the false religion which worships the Antichrist. It doesn't have to make sense. Evil destroys evil, and God just gets out of the way, and evil destroys evil. Satan kills Jesus and is destroyed in the process. Here, Satan will be permitted to unleash all his harm upon the world, and who is he destroying? His own kingdom. It doesn't have to make sense, because wickedness is irrational. Wickedness is crazy. People will know that they're going to lose and fight Jesus anyway. And people will know that Satan is destroying them and worship Satan anyway. It doesn't have to make sense. Because ultimately, sin is self-destructive, and sin is harmful. We can read the last few verses here before we go about how irrational sin is. Verse 20 and then 21. And the rest of the mankind who were not killed by the plagues and did not repent of their works of their hands so as not to worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood which could neither see nor walk, they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. Now think with me how rational it is that all this destruction will come forth and they did not repent of the worship of demons. Think about that. They're killing the humans. Don't they realize that they're dying from what they believe and the Satan they follow? Don't they realize they're dying from it? Well, maybe. It's kind of hard to overlook it. They're dying from it, and they worship them anyway. God uses evil to destroy evil, and evil makes no sense. It is self-destructive, and people who choose that will do it anyway, even if they destroy themselves. And in this tribulation period, we will worship the demons who are killing them. Now is the period of grace in the church age, and if we trust in Jesus as Savior, there's a graciousness and patience, and God is waiting, and we can be forgiven by trusting Jesus as Savior. At this point, a lot of them will be too late, and, one quarter died from humans killing humans, now another third have died, and it's just started, and they're still worshiping demons. There they are. Now, I'm kind of odd, but I want to at least bring in sorceries again in verse 21. They did not repent of their sorceries. The Greek word is pharmakia. We can talk more about this later when we get to the close. Those who will not repent of their sorceries are outside the heavenly city. And all the way through, the word for sorceries is pharmakia. So when I was young, I would wonder, what does the evil use of drugs include? Include abortions and the Roman Empire when this was being written. So I'd go down the Library of Congress and I would say, bring me these books. I want them in Greek. I want to see if the Greek word pharmakia, or evil use of drugs, is used of abortions, and the answer is it was. And the early church considered abortion-causing drugs to be part of medicine men and witch doctors using abortion-causing drugs. So I would have to include in here what all are evil things done of drugs. It's a big long list, but part of the evil use of drugs is abortions. Now, people can get forgiven and trust Jesus as Savior, so can the doctors. I've actually talked with one that did abortions and later trusted in Jesus. I saw him in the airport in Amarillo and recognized who he is and went over and talked with him. And, God forgave him, and he did repent, but not these in the future. And notice the words put together, murderers by way of drugs based on immorality, and did not repent, and they'll be done. Fortunately, this is their future. It's not in our time. We may have grace and forgiveness now, and God is telling us also to be patient and wait. More people will trust in Jesus. Whoever will believe, but in that coming time, there'll be a rapture and Christians taken out of this, and then all this stuff starts. First, the seal judgments, and the book will be opened, and the seal judgments are mostly humans destroying other humans. The trumpet judgments are a little bit different. God starts his own punishment. Although first at nature, affecting the human race indirectly, first at nature, and whatever degree we worry about the world now, these predictions are much worse about the future. Do you realize evil destroys evil? Satan will destroy Satan. And nobody will get into the heavenly city who doesn't change their mind or repent about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and ask for his forgiveness. Let's pray together, please.